You're listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. Sometimes when you get lost on the streets in the night and you meet a stranger, shake his hand, high five him, talk to him about what their parents' names were, and befriend somebody new. This is episode 90. It's getting close to 100. I'm a little nervous. Yeah.
Hunt it, hunt it, hunt it. Ooh, ooh.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
A toy boat, toy boat.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
Red leather, yellow leather.
Saddle up, partner.
Those movie guys, they always say they want to make consensual love to your ear holes. I want to, like, just get in there, not even ask questions.
I would actually, I'm a big fan of tools. I'm going to take, cotton edges and I'm going to run them around the edge of your ear holes.
Let's.
And I'm going to go ahead and clean the space first before I fully insert the ear. What are those called?
Q-tips?
Q-tips. Girl.
I want to just...
We're going to get those Q-tips in there and get them real dirty.
Let's get fucking surgical in there. Just every last drip, every drop, pour some syrup in that motherfucker.
The viscosity of that earwax is going to drip out real slow.
Mm-hmm. Tweezers.
What? Tweezers. Tweezers.
Mm-hmm. Tweezers.
We're going to make sure tweezers are involved.
That's the end of any kind of, like, sexy talk. When you're like, yeah, girl, then we're going to get the tweezers. So you're like, wait, what?
You've had that situation?
That'll snap anybody out of a...
You've had a tweezer conversation?
No.
Like, yeah, Jenny, things are going to get real hot and heavy tonight. Let me grab the tweezers.
Get them tweezers. Jenny used to clean my ears.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Hills, we're notorious. Mox has it. We got notorious wax buildup.
You know, it's funny that the first thing we start talking about is ears because... First topic right here is the fact that I have noticed I have ear hair starting to grow.
Oh, yeah.
I pulled ear hair out of my ears yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, where did this come from? Age 33, lockdown.
Yeah, that's when I started getting them, too. You got to get one of those manscaping, like, tiny shavers.
What is that? This all about, man.
It sucks, dude. I get long fucking nose hairs.
I get nose hairs like crazy, like beast nose hairs.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm real cognizant of it.
Yeah.
Well, now. I used to not even care, but then we did idiot test, that game show.
Yeah.
Check me out on GSN. Me and my wife did idiot test a couple years ago. But I was in makeup, and they were like preparing me.
Yes.
And they started trimming my nose hairs, and I got self-conscious. So ever since, I've been real, like, conscious. Like, got to trim these nose hairs, got to get these ear hairs, got to get all these hairs.
Got to get all these hairs.
All of them.
Is there really an easy way to age gracefully? Or do you think when it's all said and done, I mean, it's just like your body is too fast for you to keep up with it because you slow down and your body, like, grows at a weird pace?
It's high maintenance. It's high maintenance. It's just as much like if you care to age gracefully, you will, you know.
Yeah.
But in the rush of things, in the mix of things, like, you can just sort of say, like, I'm not worried about that anymore, you know.
Okay.
Like the stuff I've started to say in my age,
yes,
that I'm not worried about anymore is like, I'm not worried about wearing Crocs anymore, you know, or like, I'm not worried about wearing comfy shit to, like, the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know? Some people will still get dressed up and go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
Those people are weird. But, like, I'm not worried about looking like a fatty with all my popcorn and soda and candy at the movie theater.
No, but you're alone.
True. Well, no.
Okay, sure.
I go to the movies with my wife from time to time.
Yeah, but most cases it's, yeah, right.
What when you were younger, what were you worried about other people seeing that you're not worried about now?
What was I worried about? Honestly, I went to school when I was in high school. My senior year, I was known as the sweats guy.
Oh, really?
I wore sweats every day. I had pockets in them, so it was like, cool, I got a pair of sweats with pockets. I remember.
Were the sweats guy?
Yeah, I was the sweats guy. There was this girl that I went into high school with, and she would always make fun of me. She's like, "What are you going to wear tomorrow, Cody? Sweats."
This is high school?
Yeah, this is high school, man.
Wow.
I didn't care. When you're like a senior, it's kind of like you're an old man, and you can do whatever you want. Nobody's right. going to tell you no.
Right.
So that was very much my like my mentality of like, don't really give a shit. I'm just going to wear sweats.
Well, you were late 90s high school, correct?
I graduated in 02, so yeah. I mean, you could put me in that. In that circle.
Class of 2000.
Yeah, I was an 02 guy. So,
but like that was all right because a lot of times, when I was in high school, warm ups were still legit.
Warm ups were the hit, man.
Like you could wear warm ups with everything.
Yes.
And sweat cargo sweats.
Yes.
Were you rocking cargo sweats?
I didn't have cargo sweats. That wasn't that. I didn't have that. It was just the pockets in my sweats. I might have had a back pocket in those sweats, but they were a good pair. I had a couple of pairs. Sweats were a real popular thing. It wasn't just me. It was like other kids were wearing sweats. We'd get like really big sweats, and then we'd roll up the legs so that like on one leg.
You did the one pant leg?
I did the one pant leg roll up. Ah, I didn't care.
I thought that was for like to tell if you were buying or selling.
In Idaho, you're always buying and you're always selling. You know, it's about personal stuff. So whatever.
I thought left pant leg in the hood was selling.
Really?
Right pant leg up was buying. I think.
Okay.
Fact check me on that. Let me know. Let us know.
That's cool. I like that.
But high school fashion. Did you wear I'm not worried about socks with sandals anymore.
You're not worried about socks with sandals?
Hell no. I will wear socks with sandals all day. Not the ones with the that have the little thong between the toe and big toe.
Yeah.
Can't do socks with those.
No, Birkenstocks.
Right. But like sports sandals that you know.
Never owned a pair of the sports sandals without the thing in the toe. I've always had a flip flops. I owned a pair of Birkenstocks, and
you never had one of these.
I don't wear those, man. I can't do that. I'm not that guy.
They are so comfy.
Yeah,
I'm holding right now. Actually, I had these in late middle school, early high school. They're Adidas. They just have one like flap locking in all the toes.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, honestly.
I'll do socks with these. I don't care.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't give a fuck, guys. I don't give a fuck.
I didn't have a lot of cares when I was a kid. I actually ended up having more cares as I've gotten older.
But are you gonna be a guy once a week, every 2 days, every 3 days, trimming those ear hairs? Or are you gonna give up and just be bushy? Huh? I can't hear anything anymore.
No, I like to keep myself clean. There's a reason I cut my hair, and there's a reason I shave my face.
Yeah.
I let it get to a point, and then I shave it. You know, you got to be able to make yourself presentable to the world.
Right.
And you got to make sure that your wife doesn't leave you.
Yeah, you can't get comfy. You just can't get comfy.
You cannot
gotta,
get comfy.
You got to keep them guessing.
Yes.
You got to trim. Guys, don't give up.
Yeah. Stay tight.
Don't you give up, nah, nah, nah.
Cause I'ma give up, nah, nah, nah.
Let me love you. Let me love you.
Such a good jam.
Oh, that's a great one.
Isn't that one of the better ones?
I will turn that thing up. I don't care who's watching. Up,
nah, nah. Oh, it's so good.
I don't care. I don't care if I'm at a stoplight. There's a school bus next to me, and there's like an old lady. I will roll down those windows to that jam and sing it out. Biebs! No hate this week. No hate. Well, a little bit of hate, but nothing like weeks prior. I went to the grocery store to pick up my knockoff Chipotle bowls that I made for dinner tonight.
You did a very good job.
Thank you. And the boys...
By knockoff, it means that Dan actually made them himself at the house.
Right. I made Chipotle chicken. We had rice bowls. There was cilantro in that motherfucker.
It was
there
delicious.
Was lime.
Mm. I ate them out of house and home.
Yes, he did. I'll send you an invoice. But I go to the grocery store to pick up those ingredients. As Michael, our editor, would call it, supplies. He calls ingredients supplies. He calls like food he gets at the grocery store.
It's not a supply.
No, unless you're in the military.
It's not even a supply in the military. That's not a supply.
He's like, I went to the store and I got some supplies. I'm like, what the fuck? You get pencils?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you get a bunch of pencils and tape, Michael? He's like, no, 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 supplies. Like bread, meat, cheese. I was like, that's food. Okay, anyway. I go to
just so we can kind of like clarify things with the word supply. It means to furnish or provide with what is lacking or requisite. So I guess you could maybe say that. To furnish or provide something wanting or requisite. To supply electricity to a community. To make up, compensate for, or satisfy. TVA supplied the need for cheap electricity. To supply someone clothing. To supply a community with electricity. For whatever reason, they're stuck on this electricity thing.
He buys supplies for his food, for his nourishment.
I guess you could probably apply it that way, right? A quantity of something on hand or available as for use, a stock or store.
I love you, Michael. We miss you. Anywho, so I went to the grocery store today, and the Boy Scouts, they're outside. They're selling popcorn. They got the table, you know.
They're trying to do the popcorn game because the girls got the cookies.
Yeah, they're selling the popcorn. And I may have talked about this before, but I don't buy that stuff. And I always say no. Because I heard and I agree that saying no to the Boy Scouts when they ask you to buy their stuff to support their thing, it's a good lesson for them. That you can do all the right things. You can have the table. You can be out there trying to do good, and like, just because you have a supply doesn't mean that someone will buy it. You know, you could do everything perfectly and someone will still tell you no. I think that's the best lesson that they can learn. It's like, whoa, I did everything right. I did all this stuff. I had the food. I had the thing. I was nice. I offered him it, and he just said no.
Huh. That's really interesting that you said no to this guy.
I said no to the
just to give you some...
I would have said no regardless.
Yeah, you would have said no regardless. But just so you know, the Boy Scouts of America, they have been experiencing a decline in enrollment for like the last 5 or 6 years.
Get out, guys. Abandon ship.
According to Reuters, just so everybody knows, memberships in the Boy Scouts of America, this is an older article. This is from 2015. But membership in the Boy Scouts of America took a steep tumble during 2014, the first year under a policy that allows openly gay youths to participate in a recent year of decade-long decline. So it sounds like they have been experiencing decline for 15 years. The point I'm trying to make, Dan, is that you aren't teaching these kids a goddamn thing.
Oh, yes,
because
I am.
They could be shut down because you're unwilling to buy popcorn from a poor kid. You think you're teaching him a lesson, but what you're doing is you're shutting out an avenue for a positive influence aside from this whole hate on people with the openly gay thing, which – If the kid's gay, who cares? Let him be a Boy Scout.
I think they're experiencing a decline because weren't like a ton of den leaders like raping kids on the camping trips?
I don't necessarily know if that's the case. I can't speak to that.
And also, their pitch sucks. Like, I was taught in sales that like you never want to ask a question to where your potential customer has an option of saying no. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, hey, would you like to buy some popcorn? No, I don't. I would not like to. And then, like, that transaction is done. You know, get creative.
Yeah, but the rule of sale is you got to make sure you ask him three times.
Hi, would you like to buy some more popcorn? No. That's a no answer. And then, like,
yeah, but that's a very direct answer. What you want to try and find out is, do you not want to buy it today? Or do you want to find? Is it because you don't want popcorn? Is because right now it's just not a good time. If you'd like, I could take your name and number. I could call you. We could discuss the popcorn.
Even that is a no.
Okay,
but like,
all right, I get it.
You know what? I will buy Boy Scout popcorn to the next person who makes me say yes, because that's how you have what, 5 seconds with me from almost inside the supermarket. To inside the supermarket, and then you got a second shot at me when I leave.
Yes.
For about, so cumulative, maybe 6 seconds.
Did you
got to get me to say yes in 6 seconds to anything.
So you want to challenge the Boy Scout kids to be better salesmen?
Yeah, because that sort of cold opening, like it's like with people at the subway or whatever in D.C. I remember someone was like, hello, do you care about the whales? And that is a question of like, if you say like no one wants to say no to that, you know, that's good because the person then has to stop and say, yes, I care about the whales. They're not saying, hi, would you like to sign a petition? No, fuck you. No one wants to sign a petition, ever.
Well, you have two types of questions you can ask. You can ask an open-ended question, or you can ask a closed-ended question. And if you come up and you say, hey, do you want to buy popcorn? That's a closed-ended question. It's a yes or no answer. But if you ask an open-ended question, which allows for the individual to have a conversation with you and gets them to open up to you, that's the idea. That encourages a meaningful answer.
Yeah.
Right?
If he was like, hey, excuse me, sir, would you allow me to satisfy you today? Or actually, I could say no to that.
No. You want to ask something along the lines of, how do you feel about the Boy Scouts of America providing you with popcorn on this wonderful day?
I'd be like,
then it comes down to,
yeah, now I have to
now
speak.
I got to have a conversation with this kid, at least give him more than a yes or no answer.
Right. And it's like, fuck, you got me.
Yep. Open-ended, baby. Wallet. You got to teach those kids the real way.
Yeah. Do not ask questions that can lead to a no. Hello, sir. Do you like food? I would say yes.
Yes.
But I could say no. No,
but
I
the
hate
real,
food.
But the real question is, what types of food are you interested in?
Right. That's great.
That's an open-ended
actually,
question.
That's actually fucking great. I would stop and I would say, man, well, I actually love popcorn. Like, that's, I'm an easy target.
Doesn't sound like you're an easy target. You sound like an asshole.
But like, come on, kids. You got to get creative. It's 2017. Let's go.
Get out there, kids. And do yourself a favor. The Boy Scouts of America are trying to change and they're trying to be better. Go out, join the Boy Scouts of America. Learn something. Learn to survive in the woods because there's none in Los Angeles, but there's some outside of Los Angeles.
There sure is.
Be a mountain man. Be that person that helps your community because citizenship is just as important. Civics is just as important as that PlayStation.
Sell me popcorn. Real quick. Did you ever see, what was it? Wolf of Wall Street?
No.
You never saw it?
Of course I saw it. Stop asking me closed-ended questions.
There's a part in that movie where Leo DiCaprio makes everyone sitting at a table sell him a pen.
Yes.
And then he's like, all right, sell me this pen to this guy. And he's like, well, it's a very nice pen, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, fuck that. That's terrible. And then he gives it to my man, John Bernthal, who is the Punisher in Daredevil or whatever. And he's like, come on, sell me this pen. And so Bernthal takes the pen, passes him a piece of paper, and he says, write your name on that piece of paper. And the guy can't. And he's like, you need this pen. And it's like, boom, that's perfect. It's a perfect sales. Like, make them need it. Make me need popcorn. To continue my life.
Help me understand how helping you need something that you didn't realize you needed.
Right.
Find the need.
Yeah.
You know, I used to sell pest control door to door.
Oh, man, that was probably hard.
Terrible.
Shit.
Terrible. You got so many doors slammed on your face. But it taught me a lot. It taught me that I could sell popcorn.
Yeah. How many, like, what was the meanest shit somebody said to you when you were trying to sell pest control?
You know, people are just like not interested. Door shut.
Yeah.
It's like, you made me get up to come to the door. It's before like cell phones were really even. The iPhone wasn't out yet. It's not like people were busy with their.
What was your line? Hi, sir.
Hi, how are you doing? A lot of your neighbors are having problems with spiders and ants coming within and around your home. We have a guy coming by checking out your neighbor here at 10 a.m. tomorrow. How does 11 work for you for us to come and take a look at your
That's
place.
Actually really good. Was
Open-ended
that a lie?
Question?
Was it a lie?
Absolutely, it was a lie. Absolutely, it was a lie.
It was a lie that their neighbor was like getting checked out.
Yeah. We wouldn't even say the neighbor. We'd say we're gonna have one of our our agents out here in the neighborhood spraying a lot of the neighbors' homes and creating barriers. What's a good time for us to come by?
See, you're already in. You're prying in.
You're getting in there.
You're already in.
And the interesting thing about that is when you go in and you sell this way, people – the thing is like I was super nervous at first.
Yeah.
But what happens, you realize, because I'd knock like 100 doors a day, right?
Yeah.
150 doors a day. And it's one of those things you get to a point where – individual is actually more nervous with you than you are with them.
Right.
Because you're actually the upper hand, even though you're on their home turf. For them, it's like they're thrown off.
It's like, how do I get this door shut?
A lot. You have to speak really slow, and people have to be able to understand you, because when they see somebody they don't know at your door, the first question that comes in their mind, who the fuck is this guy? What's happening right now?
Right, yeah.
A lot of your neighbors are having problems with spiders and ants getting within and around your home. We're going to have a guy out here around 11 a.m. He's going to take a look at your place. He's going to come in and spray a lot of the homes. Does 12 work for you for him to stop by? He should have some time.
And then they're like,
interesting.
You're using that whole like, well, everyone else is doing it.
Yep.
Why don't I go do it?
Well, if the neighbors got him coming in the neighborhood, I mean, it'd be great to have those ants and spiders taken care of. What else you got?
They could get you, though. They'd be like, oh, yeah, which neighbor? And then you'd have to be like,
You keep it as general as you can, because I was caught that way a couple times. But,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, who said that? Jim? They're like, yeah, Jim. And you're like, no, I don't know any fucking Jim.
Carol, like five houses down. Does that sound familiar?
And like, yeah.
Carol Thompson, I think is her last name.
Yeah. There's a viral video going around of this guy who he was selling like cleaner. Like stain, like you could clean up like any freaking stain, brass, water, on the concrete or whatever. But he had like, he was so smooth, and he was like a stand up comic out there, and like would just kill it. I got to share that video now, but he would just slay comedy on them, and like he was just like, hi, how you doing? Just like so fast talking, but hey, let me get you one second. Hey, what if I told you that, blah, 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 blah. And he's like so quick, so smooth, but like you give him, all he needs is the 5 seconds.
Yes.
And he can get you.
Yes.
And then it was great. He was just like killing it. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, but I couldn't find it here.
He's like fantastic.
Okay, sorry. Anyway, sales is an interesting thing. It's about confidence. It's about swagger. And it's a lot. It's funny because you don't really need to know anything to sell anything.
No, you have to be nice.
It's funny. Like you watch The Office, and who is it? It's the later seasons. What's his name? Something California.
Oh, I don't know.
What is his name? Robert California. And it's the voice of Ultron.
Oh.
What the hell is his name? Anyway, he's...
Spader. James Spader.
James Spader. And he sits there and he talks. And he holds on the words, and he's always saying things that are supposed to be sexual. And it's always like using sexual. He's like this salesman, and he's like, it's not about the words, it's the people. Jim, you know,
he's like trying to get it.
He's almost like Bill Cosby meets, I don't know, somebody that's not Bill Cosby.
Yeah,
you have to find the words, Jim.
Find the words.
Yeah, there are no strings on me.
Yeah,
you know, he's got that weird tone. Anyway, James Spader's voice is creepy as hell.
The guy I had is I was talking about was Kenny Brooks.
Kenny Brooks, check him out.
You hear that?
What?
Man, it's weird.
Okay.
Anywho.
So I'm sitting at home, and I'm reading an article, and all of a sudden I see this crazy article in the news.
Yeah.
And apparently in Colorado... 5 Denver nurses were suspended for 3 weeks.
Smoking weed?
No, No, as a matter of fact, they were suspended for admiring, as it's described, a dead man's genitals.
Excuse me?
Yep.
Say that one more time for the audience.
I'm going to read the head of the article here. I'm sorry, not the head of the article. I'm going to go ahead and read the first paragraph. Five Denver nurses peeked at a stiff's genitals while he was laid up in a body bag and admired what they saw, according to a report. The nurses who worked at the Denver Health Medical Center were suspended for 3 weeks for the hospital peep show. A hospital spokesman said the nurses admired the size of the dead patient's genitals and opened the body bag to view the victim's body, according
they
to the report.
They admired it?
The peeping incident occurred sometime between March 31st and April 3rd, but it was not reported until May when another nurse overheard one of the nurses from the discipline group make an inappropriate comment and notified hospital staff. Denver police responded to the incident but allowed the hospital to handle the matter internally. Multiple staff members viewed the victim while he was incapacitated, including after he was deceased. That's what the Denver police report said. The complaint risk management for Denver Health made a mandatory report. So,
this is a true crime. That's disgusting. And they were only suspended?
3 weeks. I mean, I don't know. He's a dead man. He either has a very, like, they use the word admired. When I say the word admired, do you think the man had a very small penis?
No.
You think he had a ridiculously large penis?
Yeah, he had King Kong ding-along.
I think so.
God damn. So they were just like, hey, Nancy.
Well, the thing
come here and check it out.
Obviously, they had viewed it while he was incapacitated, not dead. And then when he died, they all looked at it in the body bag.
Just peeking at it.
Yeah.
All right, so one, here's what I get from that. One, there's someone snitching in their group. That's snitch category.
Yeah.
Someone is like, oh, they're looking at the penis after he's died in the bag. I'm telling. So one, not cool.
Shame on you, nurse.
Stop snitching, first of all. It's not hurting anybody that they're all taking a peek at this guy's dick. I get it. It's unethical, but you're not really hurting anybody.
No.
Because you're admiring it. I mean, are they taking selfies with this dick?
I mean, they're throwing it over their shoulders and then giving each other high fives.
Are they doing what
it's my pet snake.
Are they doing what that girl is doing and, like, dressing up the dick with,
no,
like, costumes?
No, not taking photos. No, no.
I mean, for me, no harm, no foul.
I don't really care. Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, maybe good for you, ladies, if that's something that you like to look at.
That's
and
one of those
things.
And
the thing is they've done that before.
Oh, really?
So this No, I'm just saying, like, this isn't a one-time occurrence.
Yeah, they got a club.
I think they got a little club of, like, D-admirers, and they're just like, I'm going to check out that man's peen, and we're going to have a group conversation about it.
They send a text like, hey, locker 65.
Yeah, exactly.
Check out the dick on that one.
Look at that. Yeah, exactly.
Got a little surprise for you. And, like, it'll be, like, a real tiny one. They'll all giggle. I mean, anyway. That's the type of problem that, like, falls on, like, your boss's desk. And he's like, God damn it.
I would hate for that to fall on my boss's desk.
You're like, I got to deal with this shit.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Ladies, stop peeking at dead dicks. That's what you got to do.
Got to keep it in check.
Keep it in check, man. So on a little more serious note, we had some hurricanes.
Hurricane Irma.
Irma, you bitch.
Storming through like a wildfire on a prom night's dress.
But didn't it like fizzle out?
Like, I mean, they're saying that the damage is pretty intense. We still will have a couple days until we really know. But they're saying that they don't want people to, according to CNN, which I don't know how reliable that is, but CNN stated that the officials are telling people not to go back to their homes just yet.
But some people still got rocked, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. The Florida Keys got rocked. A couple islands. Puerto Rico was hit pretty hard. Cuba was hit pretty hard. Virgin Islands
mm.
were hit really, really hard. One island, I was listening to NPR today, and they said it was 100% of their infrastructure for power was destroyed.
St. Thomas?
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
I was there for my sister-in-law's wedding.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were hit pretty hard.
I was in Maryland this past week, and we were talking, me and my in-laws were talking about how hurricanes get named, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
Did we discuss this last year?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, because they have a series of names that they use, and then they'll recycle them after a period of time.
Yeah. They're originally labeled by latitude-longitude numbers.
Uh-huh.
But it made it easier for meteorologists to track storms, but not for people
yeah.
looking for info about it. So they started naming them.
Yeah.
But the National Hurricane Center started the formal practice of naming storms that developed in the Atlantic Basin. And they update this list, but it's something like if the hurricane, like, they basically have like a hall of fame of hurricanes, because if it like rocks, if it like destroys, they retire.
They
the
don't
name.
Use the name again.
Yeah, yeah, they don't use the name again.
So Irma will not ever be used again.
Harvey won't.
Will Irma?
I'm not sure.
I mean, wouldn't it, like, are you saying if it, like, gets to a certain size, or is it about destruction?
The system was changed in 1979 to what it is today. They now switch between female and male names from six lists that are used in rotation and recycled every 6 years.
Okay.
So that means this year's list will be used again in 2023.
Okay.
So, like, do you remember Hurricane Hugo? I remember Hugo.
I don't really remember Hugo.
It was like an East thing. I mean, it's all an Eastern thing.
Was that a New York thing?
That was a big one that, like, Maryland got, like, it didn't get rocked by. We always get, like, the aftermath, but that was a scary one when I was a kid. I remember lightning hit a tree in my yard, and the tree, like,
oh, cool.
It just fucking fell.
That's
we
awesome.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Shit. And it was like, it was fucking green outside. Like the entire, it was a weird, just green.
That's
very,
awesome.
Very, very strange.
Wow.
There are no Q, U, X, Y, or Z names on the hurricane list for obvious reasons. And I guess that obvious reason is that they can't think of that many fucking names.
Obvious to somebody else, not me.
Yeah, they can't think of names that start with those letters.
Yeah, I guess you can't. And then, you know, you get Hurricane Xylophone, and they're like, well, that was a Category 5. We can never use that again if
right.
we don't have another X for the future.
Yeah, Xena?
Xena?
If more than 21 storms form in one season, like in 2005, meteorologists use the Greek alphabet to name the additional storms. And infamous hurricanes that are particularly damaging and deadly are retired for historical and legal reasons. Hmm.
Interesting.
So there's no more Katrina.
What's the next one after K? What's the next one after J? Because the next storm is going to be with a K.
It's Irma, Jose, and then Katia.
Katia. Katia already happened. What's the H-I-J-K-L? So what's L?
Lee.
So we got Hurricane Lee is following up Jose right now.
Yeah.
Katia actually was, we had three hurricanes at one time in the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yes. Actually, there was a hurricane, like Harvey ended, Irma was on its way, Jose was behind it, and Katiana was stirring in the Gulf down in Mexico.
Katia.
Katia. Katia. Katia.
Then Lee, then Maria, then Nate. We got a Nate.
It's looking like, because I went to, you can go to, if you want to know about the tropical storms forming, you can go to nhc.noaa.gov or just type in NHC and then hurricane, and that'll give you a link to the National Hurricane Center's website. And from there, you can actually take a look at forming storms that are happening in the Atlantic. And all of them start really far east, like down by Africa. And then they move up through the warm waters where they gain power. And then once they get into that section there,
yeah.
once they get into the Gulf in that area, that's when, you know, they cause destruction because that's when they hit landfall.
It's crazy,
man. It's in that path. And then there's also hurricanes that take place on the west coast of Mexico. And there are several that are forming in that area right now.
Jesus. More than a dozen storm names have been retired in the last decade, including Joaquin, 2015, Sandy, 2012, Irene, 2011, and Ike, 08.
Mm.
And they're saying after this season, Harvey and Irma will likely be joining them.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a hurricane?
Never.
Could 100-mile-an-hour winds like pick you up?
I mean, I think it would make it very difficult for you to move forward if you're going against, if you're going with the wind, it could probably throw you on your ass and push you.
Right.
But I don't think it would pick you up.
Right.
Because I don't think, I think the winds, they either go, you know, left, right, you know, they don't lift you. It's not like lifting winds. I don't really know how that works, so I guess I can't really speak to that.
Yeah.
Have you? You've been, yeah, like you said, you were in that.
I mean,
odd one.
I don't think I can say like I was in a hurricane because I mean Maryland, it's sort of a mid. I guess some people would. Well, the Mason-Dixon line separates the north from the south. No, and that runs through Maryland.
They define that.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess it could be considered a southern state, but it is on that coast. So like you can get some gnarly storms in Maryland.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
And definitely. Like aftermath of hurricanes. But, I mean, Ocean City got rocked by a hurricane. Shit. Yeah.
You're on the East Coast. It's very possible you could get hit with a hurricane. I mean.
Yeah. But, I mean, I've been in tropical storms for sure. Those are like.
Crazy.
It's kind of crazy. It's scary, man. Yeah. Like, we've definitely huddled down in the basement before when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But, like. Adam Ivey, we had him on the podcast. He's in Orlando. Yeah. He's in Orlando. He posted some cool shit about things to not say to people in Florida, like during hurricanes, like just calling them and being like, "Get out, run!" Like sometimes you can't run, you know. Yeah. Those like the exit strategies and evacuations, like sometimes you can't fucking do it.
Well, and they were saying like the highways were completely packed.
Yeah.
They like, only had so much that they could move out. They were trying to move out as many people as they possibly could. And
yeah, and like the list went on. It was like, don't tell people to just get a flight out. Like sometimes flights are like $2,000 to get out.
Yeah, there was a big complaints that were happening with airlines were taking advantage of the situation, and then all of them ended up stopping it and saying, "We've adjusted our rates. We apologize for the confusion."
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Because it's all computer-based with a lot of those rates. So if they're seeing a high uptick in demand, they're going to immediately pop those prices. And that's probably not one person's controlling.
It's like when Uber went on a surge when there was some bullshit at LAX. Like, there was, like, a scare. There was, like, a bomb scare.
Really?
So everyone had to, like, get out of LAX.
Wow, that's crazy.
So they went on a surge for Uber.
They had to wait for a...
Yeah.
Until it was clear before they let anybody else in.
Exactly. But, I mean, the thing is, there's danger everywhere. I know so many people on the East Coast are like, I cannot move to California because there's earthquakes. But in California, I'm more scared of fires, man, than the quakes.
Well, there was that big fire that was taking place, you know.
Yeah.
Up in Burbank, or down in Burbank, and that was a pretty crazy fire. I saw it start... I mean, I saw it come over the hill when it first was happening. I was like, wow, that's pretty insane.
Yeah, dude.
And then I just watched it continue to grow and grow, and then I left town.
When Jenny was pregnant, she was due. She was basically due, and they were evacuating the streets over for that fire.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were freaked out. We were like, are we going to have to like pack our shit and go before we have this baby?
Are we going to have to bust a nut and get out of here?
I already did that 9 months ago. But I mean, tornadoes. Have you been in a tornado?
Are there tornadoes? No, I've been in a microburst.
Yeah, what's that?
Microburst is like it's kind of like a tornado. It's kind of hard to describe it, but it's this weird. Let me see if I can find a description.
But I mean,
it's a downdraft of air. So let me read the let me describe to you what this is. It's a microburst is a localized column of sinking air, a downdraft within a thunderstorm, and is usually less than or equal to 2.5 miles in diameter. Microbursts can cause extensive damage at the surface and in some instances can be life-threatening. There are two primary types of microbursts, one, wet microbursts, and two, dry microbursts. Wet microbursts are accompanied by significant precipitation and are common in the southeast during the summer months. They say that basically, you know, with that downdraft, it's really weird because the sky gets kind of like a weird color.
Like the green I was talking about?
Yeah, I don't know if I don't recall it being green, but I do remember like we got hit with these in this small town where I grew up. And it was kind of nuts.
Maddie ever get hit with like tornadoes or anything?
Not where she was, but she had like they had warnings around the regions.
That, see, out of all of them, earthquake, fire, hurricane, tornado, flash flood, mudslides, tornadoes freak me out the most.
Because tornadoes are like such a small impact relative to what you would experience with a hurricane or an earthquake.
But the tornado, there's no like. There's not a good warning system in place yet.
There's not a good warning system in place for earthquakes. True. When an earthquake hits,
it just hits.
Yeah, like where are you? What are you gonna do with your? What are you gonna do with Jenny and Moxie?
Fucking grab them, get under something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's scary, man. And there was a massive earthquake in Mexico.
Yeah, there was an 8.1.
Yeah. That's bigger than the fucking than the earthquake that happened in San Fran, the big one, and the big one in Northridge.
I don't know if it was bigger than the one in San Fran.
I think
you
it
mean
was.
The big one, the one like in the
like the 19 somethings.
Yeah,
1906. Yeah, it was like 2 points bigger.
Yeah, it was a 7.8 in 1906.
Yeah.
It's not the biggest one on record, though. The biggest earthquake on record is, according to...
And then the tidal wave.
The largest earthquake on record was in southern Chile, and it was a 9.5.
Was that the one where the miners got stuck?
I don't think it would have been that. This was in 1960.
Oh, okay.
That is the strongest earthquake.
A 9.5, 9.6.
I mean, that's insane. I am not a geologist, so it's hard for me to really, it's hard for me to kind of equate to you what that means, but anytime you're up that high, it essentially liquefies rock.
Fuck.
It shakes so hard, it's like the rock is like liquid. I mean, it's like, it's just, yeah.
What
yeah.
the fuck do you do, dude?
Yeah, there's nothing to do. You know?
What do you do? And the myth of like a piece, like with the big one that they're expecting for California, the myth that like a part of California will like fall into the ocean, that won't happen. I heard like it'll separate, yes, but... Nothing's going to fall into the ocean.
No, nothing's going to fall into the ocean. But the problem with an earthquake in Southern California...
There's just no exit, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the fact that there's no warning. And we've kind of built things really close to each other. And it's kind of old.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're all kind of close together, that, you know, fires, looting... that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because if you can't get out of the town and you can't get supplies, like real supplies, Michael, by the way.
Yeah,
you can't get supplies to those people that are in those zones, you know,
you're going to get crime, looting.
You get crime, looting, but it's just like this. You witness this. You have people that are in hospitals. You have people that are in need in like senior homes. Mm-hmm. And it's these people can't move or get out of there. You know, I think about like Madeline and I, if we're to experience a 7 or an 8.0 earthquake, like where the hell do we go?
You're coming up north.
We're going to the desert.
You're coming to us.
I'm coming to you.
Yeah, you're coming to me. Well, and then we're hopping in my cube, and then we're going to Bakersfield see Chris and them, and then we're getting in their bunker, and then we're heading out.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. I thought I'd maybe just have a bug out bag.
Probably, yeah.
And then Madeline and I would just pack our ways to Vegas. We'd walk.
Oh, you will die. You will fucking
probably
die.
But you know, it's better than living out in the.
Yeah, no, I mean the ten would be fucked. There's no getting east.
No,
you'd have to go north for a time.
You either go north or south if you can.
Yeah,
the only reason I don't know if I want to go south is because you're just walking into people, and it could be a dangerous position.
Yeah,
the other thing too is the
tidal waves.
Yeah,
you got to get some sort of east.
Well, the valley's kind of a nice. You have a natural barrier with the mountains.
Yeah.
It's hard for a tidal wave or a tsunami to come in and kind of suck you out in Hollywood.
Right, that's
Hollywood.
What I mean, tsunami.
Tsunami's not going to hit you.
Because, yeah, that's the thing. People don't talk, like, after the earthquake, it's tsunami watch.
Yeah. Well, and with a major earthquake like that, earthquake's not done.
Yeah.
You have aftershocks that are not the same, but at first, they're probably very high. High quakes, so it just keeps happening. You know, it's funny, in Idaho, they just recently, there's a place not far from where I grew up, and they had experienced like 200 earthquakes in a matter of like 38 hours.
Oh, yeah,
hours
you had to call
like
your mom. She was like, what?
She's like, I didn't feel it. But, you know, they weren't big quakes, but it just shows the activity of the fault lines that are in that area.
So here's my question I'm going to pose to you and to all of our listeners in a poll or something. I'll post it. Out of these, fire, earthquake, hurricane, tornado, you have to experience a big one. Which one are you taking?
Fire, earthquake, hurricane, or tornado?
Yeah.
I like rain.
You'll take the cane?
I'll take the hurricane, yeah.
It seems like you can really board up the crib and just bunker down. And you
kind
got
of,
a shot.
It really just depends. Like, if we're talking Cat 5 and we're down by the ocean, yeah. We're getting storm surges that are 12 to 18 feet tall, I'm a dead man.
Yeah. Well, dude, my dad is in Miami now. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, yeah. Have you talked to him?
Yeah. Luckily, he's
out of town.
He's out of town. Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah. I'm like worried about that shit now. I mean, not that I wasn't worried before, but. You know, when you have a family member down there, you care a little more. But yeah, he was like, "Yeah, I'm lucky to be out of there." But he's in a building like I'm sure that is. He doesn't have like just a freestanding house. It's like a
no.
He's in like a complex,
a big condo, high rise.
So you'd take the hurricane?
I'd take the hurricane. Yeah,
I think I'll take the quake.
You're nuts, man. Because
at least like it hits.
And it's done.
And it's done. You pick up the pieces. So, I mean, if it's going to get you, it's going to get you.
Yeah.
But hurricane, like, you could just be in that fucking storm for God knows how long.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, just hopefully you're in, like, a structure. But tornado's scary as hell. Scary. I hear it sounds like a train.
Well, I would imagine anything that's twirling and throwing cows and chairs.
Sounds like a fucking train coming.
Sounds terrible.
Ugh.
Anyway.
Dude, you know Kirk Cameron?
I mean, I know who he is. I don't know him personally.
Growing Pains?
Yeah, I know who he is.
He's
best friends with Boner Stabone.
Right. He went like all super Christian?
Yeah, of course. He made the After Earth or whatever they're called.
Right.
Left Behind series or whatever it is.
He said the hurricanes came to humble us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he name that about all major natural events? The earthquakes came to humble us. The hurricanes come to cool us. The tornadoes came to lift us up off our feet.
He said, God sends hurricanes to teach us humility. Well, Kirk.
Okay, well... I guess we'll go with that and end the segment on some words of wisdom from Kirk Cameron.
Yeah.
I want to tell you about a company called JC Room Blocks. Do you have 10 or more out-of-town guests coming to an event near you? Maybe you have a bris, a wedding, a family reunion, a science convention. Maybe some friends are coming in town and they just want to get drunk in one place. Or your mom's coming into town and she's got 10 brothers and sisters and they need a room so they can all come over to your house and have a bagel. Well, I have the answer for you. JC Roomblocks, they research hotels in the area that you need the rooms. So if you're in San Diego, they're going to find those rooms. They're going to put them together for you. Oh, what? You need to be in Boston for a little bit? No big deal. Go over to Boston and hang out with your Boston friends. You got 10 or 15 of them and you need a room? Fucking Boston. That's what you're going to do. Since they're certified travel agents, they can get you the lowest possible rates. On top of discounted rates, they can also negotiate highly discounted bridal suites, shuttle service, and food and beverage functions. If you mention the Dan and Cody podcast, that's us, they'll waive their fee. That means you don't pay anything. Okay? Check them out, jcroomblocks.com. I'm going to repeat that, jcroomblocks.com. They're on Facebook, they're on Twitter and Instagram. Follow them, check them out, get all their rooms!
You know, man, it's tough. It's our first day without Michael.
Mikey, gone. We miss you, buddy.
We've pushed along. We've tried to move on. It's Michael's still nice enough to put in the time to make the Dan and Cody podcast. Thank you for that, Michael.
Thanks, brother.
But it's different. I'm managing the sound here, so hopefully it ends up sounding as good as it does when Michael does it.
I'm going to get a doll.
So that's the next topic. What do you mean?
I'm going to get a doll. I'm going to blow him up.
A blow-up doll.
Yep.
And you're going to get a blow-up doll?
Yep. We're going to put him where Michael usually is. And we'll dress him up like Michael.
Put some headphones on him.
Throw some headphones on him. Make him play Hearthstone the whole fucking time we're podcasting.
Yep. Yep. Classic Michael.
Classic Mikey Mike.
Anyway. Good dude. Man. Now it's time for Read Your Review. Dan, what do we got? Who wrote us a review? We're going to do this a little differently because I believe who wrote us a review was the lovely Easton.
Easton!
We got her. She's so kind. She's sweet. She's got a big heart. She listens to the Dan and Cody podcast, which is the most important thing.
She was like
one of our first,
one of the first
people that listened to us that we had never met, ever spoken to. She is a mystery to us even still today.
She is a real ride or die chick. You know what?
We're sending her a sticker.
Dan's sending her a sticker.
We're sending her a sticker. She got mad at us last week.
Well, you know, story of my life when a woman gets mad at me.
She was
woman with a big heart.
We came out late last week.
We did come out late last week. We had some technical issues.
No one said anything except Easton.
Because she's a ride or die fan.
Yeah, she was like, what the fuck? Where's my Dan and Cody? She sent me a screenshot, and it was like, no Dan and Cody today. She's like, what is going on? She's like, what the fuck is going on? And I was like, I couldn't even...
Couldn't even do it.
I couldn't even stomach it. I was like, baby, I'm sorry. I'm trying to find this review, damn it. This is why, Easton, you got to review us on
iTunes.
On iTunes.
This dude. Is, we normally just read the iTunes ones, but for you, Easton, we're going to make sure we read every review you write.
Yeah.
So that's how it's going to play out. So Dan's looking for this. But on a lighter note, I am working on building a castle made of cheese.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I'm totally joking. I don't like cheese castles.
Okay.
What do we got?
I've got the review.
Review's up.
From Easton, our number one fan.
Uno, numero uno, number one.
This is the only review we're reading from Facebook.
This is the only review we're reading from Facebook, and this is the only review we're reading today.
Where to begin? This duo is hands down my fave podcast.
What?
And trust me, I have tried listening to many others. They are super funny, entertaining,
stop it,
and can also tickle my fancy
what?
On the intelligent side.
sweetest thing ever.
Now, if that's not a perfect podcast description, I don't know what is.
I don't know what is either.
Seriously, tune in and download. Smile face, smile face. Okay sign, okay sign, okay sign. 100, 100, smile face.
Poop emoji.
Easton, you sweet, sweet woman.
Thank you so much. We appreciate the love. And, you know, make sure you share us with your friends, everybody. We appreciate any kind of help you can get us. Get the Dan and Cody podcast out there.
Hit us up and listen to our friends, those movie guys. You Don't Know Ish. More Gooder Than. So I Married a Movie Geek. Large Marge sent us. The rest.
There's a lot of podcasts out there. Get out there and listen. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. And make sure to meet that stranger. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dan and Cody podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. And you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/dancodypodcast.
Subscribe, bitch.
Hey, buddy, play the tough guy to shoot, bro. Right.